In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Many happy returns to you all. We've concluded the first week of the Holy Great Fast. And before you know it, it'll be Holy Week. It always goes by very quickly. But if we didn't start fasting, we should start fasting with the church and taking the blessing of this time of spiritual revival in our life and in the seasons of the church. Last week, before we enter the journey of the Holy Great Fast, and by the way, the journey of the Holy Great Fast is the journey of our life. It is the journey of our life here on earth, culminating in the resurrection and you and I's resurrection in the last day. And the church told us last week that on this journey, we need three things. We need prayer, fasting, and what else? And almsgiving. Very good. Prayer, fasting, and giving of alms, doing charitable deeds. And they said, these are the three things you're going to need on the way. And then we began the fast on Monday. And in the church, in its wisdom, and in Christ, when he told us to fast, he understands that the desire of food is the strongest desire in humanity, in man. So as a training for our spirits and a training for ourselves, he put for us the practice or the exercise of fasting, controlling what we eat. In hopes of what, as we control what we eat, we can then control the other desires in our life. And one of the other desires in our life is the possessions, the money, materialism. And this is what the gospel of today focuses on. More than half of the gospel speaks about the issue of possessions. It tells us today in the gospel, this comes from Matthew chapter 6, which is the Sermon on the Mountain, which all of Christianity considers as being the foundation of Christian life, of morality, and so on. He establishes a few things about materialism or about possessions. The Lord Christ says and tells us about the fleeting reality of possessions, that they appear today and they'll be gone tomorrow. They are corruptible and they can be stolen. So we shouldn't put our trust in them. And he says, beware of your eye, because if your eye is bad and desires these possessions, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And he tells us to beware lest our whole body be full of darkness. Then he establishes and says that money or possessions can be made masters, but at the expense of your relationship with God. He says that money and possessions can be made as masters, your masters, and my masters, at the expense of God. There'll always be this exchange. You want possessions? Then God will say, or if you want possessions of the world, then Satan will say, I'll give this to you at the expense of your relationship with God. So that's why he says in the gospel, you can't serve both God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. Then he tells us to don't feel insecure. If you put your security in the money, don't feel insecure. Look at the birds of the air. They neither gather into barns, but yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the flowers in the field, the lilies of the field, the wild flowers. They neither, do anything, but God takes care of them, and they bloom with beautiful colors. And even likens this to Solomon. He says, Solomon, in all his glory, is not like one of these. Are you of not more value than they? Certainly, we're more valuable than any sparrows or any flowers in the field. We're created in his image and likeness. God created all of this world for us. But he says, I don't want you to get caught up with the possessions of these and get your security in the possessions and the money of the world. And then he says, he concludes the gospel and tells us, seek first the imperishable and the perishable will be added to you. Seek first the things which are imperishable, that nothing can corrupt or steal or destroy, and I will give you above and beyond what you need here in the world. But if you look around us in the society that we live in, this is the exact opposite of the society we live in. The society tells us that the more you have, the better you are, the more valuable you are, and this is it. And if you look at our society in general, we're a society consumed with consuming. Everything is consumer-based, consumer this, consumer that, and you and I are the consumers. Time magazine said that for every $1,000 that a family makes or a person makes in the month, they spend $1,300. So for every $1,000 I make, I spend $1,300. So that means I spend 30% more than what I make. This is quite a problem, and it's evident in the national debt that we have. Very high national debt. And if you look at the idea of consuming and consumers, I think the epitome of this is Black Friday. The day, supposedly, which inaugurates the shopping season of Christmas, and all the whole season of Christmas is focused about possessions, materialism. And if they're very good about throwing ads in our face and getting us to desire these possessions, and then once Christmas Day comes, we're happy and everything with the gifts that we received, and then by New Year, or maybe by the Nativity, we're like, yeah, it's just whatever, it's normal, I got the new phone, latest computer, whatever, and it's not a big deal. We are consumed with consuming. And I think this presents to us a clear problem, and sometimes some of us underestimate the destructive power of materialism and the possessions, or running after the possessions. So between this week and next week, I must focus about this idea of materialism. I'll speak about general definitions, some characteristics of materialistic individuals, potentiating factors, and then why do I always feel like I want more? And then God willing, next week we'll speak about breaking free from materialism. But before I speak, I want to say a little disclaimer. Okay, the disclaimer is that the materials themselves are not the problem. Why? Because God created everything. He created the world, and He said that it was what? That it was what? Good. Let's say it together. It was good. Okay, He created the world, and it was good. Right? Everything was good that God created. But what becomes the problem is not the use of God's creation, but the abuse of God's creation, the abuse of His resources. I said this many times, God created enough resources in the world to give everybody their basic necessities. There would be not one poor person in the world if the resources were distributed evenly. Nobody without home, shelter, food, or clothing. Nobody. So it's not the use that's the issue, but it's the abuse of them. And that's why the Lord, in the last verse in the gospel today, He made us this promise. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all of these things. What are all of these things? These are the material possessions that we need to sustain our lives. So what's the definition of materialism? I took this straight from Merriam-Webster, and I'll read it. It says, preoccupation with or emphasis on material objects, comforts, and considerations, with a disinterest in or rejection of spiritual, intellectual, or cultural values. I'll sum it up for you. It's just the valuing of the tangible objects more than the intangible. Valuing things that are tangible, that are material, more than the things that are intangible. What are the things that are intangible? The materialistic person is a person who values my car, my house, my properties, more than my relationships, the love that I have for my spouse or my children, the caring of for another person. All of these things are things that are intangible, things that meaning, purpose in our life, all of these things are certainly very valuable, but I place more value in things that are materialistic. The problem is that materialism can dominate our life. If I'm solely focused on acquiring things, this can dominate my life and trump everything else. There are certainly more important things in life than materials. Like I mentioned them, relationships, love, service, spirituality, all of these things are intangible but carry far greater meaning. What are some of the characteristics of the materialistic individual? The person who is materialistic, what are some of the characteristics? They found that there are three personality traits that we can trace back or look into that characterizes the people who are materialistic in nature. The first one is that they're ungenerous. They're ungenerous. And being ungenerous has to do with the unwillingness to give or to share our possessions with others. To give or to share my possessions with others. Although God has blessed many of us in different ways, the giving and sharing of my possessions, sometimes the materialistic person will look and say, I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time letting somebody borrow my car. I have a hard time maybe lending somebody some money. I have a hard time sacrificing my own time and comfort and my own possessions for somebody else. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The Samaritan who was going on the road and was beaten and left half dead, right? And the priest came by, just went by. The Levite or like the deacon came by and went right by. And then a Samaritan man came and saw this Jew who was beaten, and he took care of him. And what does the Bible say in particular? It says he used oil to clean his wound. He used wine to clean it. And then he put him on his donkey or on his animal and then took him into an inn or a hotel and told the innkeeper, whatever he needs, give him and I'll pay you everything that you need. You look at what this good Samaritan did versus the other two. He gave of his possessions. He sacrificed what could be his and his conveniences for another person. This person was not was very generous, not ungenerous, but very generous. Many of us, you know, will think about our material things before we maybe think about helping someone. Maybe if I saw somebody who was on the road who looked a little bit ruddy and kind of run down, I might say that, and he's bleeding, I want to help him, let me just call 911. But the thought would come to my mind of putting him in my car and maybe taking him somewhere, I'm not sure. I can contract a disease, he might dirty my car. The materialistic person will think like this. I think of the material before I think of a person. What will they do to my possessions rather than how can I help the person? So the ungenerous is the person who's blind to the needs of others. Who's blind to the needs of others. What a great blessing it is, I think, for us to look at the needs of others. I was always taught when I was growing up to try to look and see how you can help before somebody asks. Because we get two blessings this way. One, we get the blessing of doing something for another person, and then we get another blessing for doing it without even asking. It's one thing when your boss tells you go do something and you do it. But it's another thing when you notice something needs to be done and then you go and do it before it's asked. I think you get double blessing for that. So we need to be keen to the needs of other people. But the materialistic has a hard time with that. The second characteristics or the personality trait is envious. The materialistic person or the person who's focused on possession is envious. This is the desire for other people's possessions. Although they might have, but they look at what the other person has and wants what they have. There's a story in the Old Testament with King Ahab, who was, of course, the king of Israel, and the kings lived very well back then. There was nothing that they couldn't have. Had all the land in the kingdom. There was this guy who was next door to him, who was called Naboth, right? Who had a nice little vineyard that the king wanted. And this is all that he had, this poor fellow, this is all that he had, and it was in his family, and this is all that he had. So he goes to him and says, I want your vineyard. He says, I'm sorry, sir, I can't give it to you. This is all I have, this is how I support my family, and it's been given to me, from my parents and so on. So then listen to what king, after he has this conversation, the king, right, the king who is the king of everything, listen to what his response is after he had this brief discussion with Naboth. He says, so Ahab went into his house sullen. And sullen means he was depressed, very downcast. Sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. for he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would not eat no food. Come on, really? He got depressed when in his house was like pouting because he couldn't have a little vineyard. And although he had everything else, but his eye was envious. His eye was envious. I have a lot, but I want this. And this is, you know, what even you'll find people who are well off or wealthy, they still might steal. This comes from this, envy. It's not that I don't have, but I want everything else that, I want things that other people have. Envy, envy, the desire for other people's possessions. And actually for Ahab, King Ahab, he was so depressed that his wife Jezebel came in and said, what's going on? Why are you so sad? And she said, well, this guy won't give me the land. So she said, get a hold of yourself, let me plot, and I'll show you what to do. We'll kill him and then take his land. And that's what they did. That's what they did. This is why this man was one of the most wicked kings in the Old Testament, if not the wickedest king in the Old Testament of Israel. Envy can certainly cause us to focus more on the material. The last characteristic is possessiveness. Possessiveness. Possessiveness is concern about the loss of possessions and desire for greater control and ownership. So possessiveness is more concerned about the loss of what I have and wanting control and ownership. So maintaining control. This, I think, is exemplified in the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler who came to Christ, and Christ told him, you know, sell what you have, give to the poor, and take up the cross and come follow me. And the Bible tells us that he went away sad because he had great possessions. So his problem is that he couldn't bear to lose his money. One of two problems is the fact that he said, give your money to the poor. All of it, you mean? Yes, he said, all of it. And come take up your cross and follow me. Is Christ asking us to give all of our money to the poor? No, but not to be attached to it. He made an example of this rich young ruler for you and I, so that we look and we look at our possessions, or we look at our money, or we look at the material in the world, and we're not tied to it. We're not tied to it. So the day when Christ comes and says, now's your time, I want you with me in the kingdom of heaven, we say, no, 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 I'm scared, I don't want to die now, I want this, I want this, I need this, I need this. Not being tied to the monies and the things of the world. His second problem is he couldn't give control of his life over to the Lord. He couldn't give up control of his life over to the Lord. The next part of take up your cross and follow me. What do you mean? I can't be in control of my own life? I'm just going to follow you? Where are we going to go? How are we going to? Who's going to support us if we have no money, if I give everything to the poor? Christ wanted to tell him, don't worry about that. As long as you follow me, you will never be in need. Who followed Christ and was in need? Nobody follows Christ is in need of anything. So what are some of the potentiating factors? There are probably many, but I only thought of two for the sake of time. The first one that leads us to materialism, I think, is the media. The media. And the media has an ever-growing influence on our lives and the lives of our young ones because of all of the devices and the different ways in which they can get us. When I was growing up, it was the TV and the radio, and the internet came in the 90s. Before that, that was it, and maybe some magazines. But now, many different avenues. Computer, internet, phones, different devices, even at work. Now they have the signs. You know, back in my day, they're all static. Now they're all moving, and they flip. So you'd be walking on driving down a dark road, and then you're blinded. You don't even look at the sign, but you're blinded because the lights are coming from this sign. And it flips, and one ad after another, one ad after another. Let me give you some statistics. Some people did a study, and they found that the average American spends about 7.4 hours daily in front of a screen. 7.5 hours a day in front of a screen. And this is how it was divided. They found an hour or 144 minutes in front of the TV, so two and a half hours, 103 minutes in front of a computer, 151 minutes in front of our cell phones, and almost 45 minutes in front of a tablet. One screen or another. And if you look at your life, myself included, we're always in front of a screen. And with that screen, we like them because we get stuff for free, right? We get free apps, we get free this, we get free that. But you know what? Things aren't really free. As the saying goes, there's nothing free in this world. How are these, the free things, paid for? Huh? Advertisements, right? Ads. So you get the free apps, you got the ads on the bottom. They did another study and they said what? That in the 1970s, the average person was exposed to 50 ads a day. 50. Today, the average person is exposed to 5,000 ads a day. Incredible. Incredible. So the media certainly has a say in the materialistic development of this country and in our lives and the lives of our children. So it comes to our benefit to limit these times for our children and for ourselves as well. We don't just tell our children and not us as well. For us as well. This, of course, is the advertiser's paradise. The more ads that they can sell or expose you to, the more money they can make. And actually, if you look at the biggest companies in the world, they're focused on ads, ad-based. Google, for example, started all is ad-based. They made the search engine to get you to get on it so they can expose you to the ad. But their funding comes from the ads. We got to be careful of the media that we allow ourselves to be exposed to and our kids to be exposed to. Because it certainly is materialistic. And you look at the ads that are on the TV and the commercials, they do two things. They, one, tell you that your life isn't good, and then the way you fix your life is by this product. That's hands down, this is what they do. You know, you're depressed and so on, but if you take this medicine, you're going to be like this beautiful young lady and this handsome young man who are in the beautiful garden having the time of their life if you take this medicine. This is what they do. Your life is horrible if you don't have this phone or this new technology. And if you have this new technology, look how great your life is going to be afterwards. This is it. Let's understand the pattern and not be so easily gullible by these ads. Watch an ad and say, and ask yourself at the end, do I really need this? Or did they convince me that I needed it? The second thing, besides the media, and I think we need to own up to this part, is the our parenting. Our parenting. Unfortunately, some parents believe that their sole purpose is to provide for their children. To provide their children with money or possessions. And when I give them things, they will be happy and they will be okay and they will love me and so on. But this is the furthest from the truth. The furthest from the truth. The children who get everything that they want or get things that they want often, they end up wanting more. And this becomes like a craving. They want more and more and more and are less satisfied with you. I remember, I may have shared this with you before, I remember when my son was 2 years old. It's the first Christmas really that he understood what was going on. And he opened all his gifts. And then me and my wife went upstairs for something. And then he had all of the gifts downstairs with all the wrapping paper and all the haste that was downstairs. He left all of this and went upstairs and was just following us around. This told us something very strong, and it stuck with me, that he's not interested in things. He wants us. He could care less about our kids. This is all kids, by the way. All kids are the same. They want us more than what we give them. Listen to what the church tells us after the baptism, in case we're caught up with what goes on in the baptism, the day we baptize our children. Listen to what the church is telling us. He says what? Be diligent in teaching them reciting the Holy Scriptures, which are the breath of God, and attending church services in the mornings and evenings, and fasting on Wednesday, Friday, and the Holy 40 Days fast, and all the fasts. So you have a responsibility not to only provide for your children, but to what? To teach them. Then it continues and says what? Guard your children and keep them from going to unsuitable places, so that the Lord may guard them from satanic temptations. So you have a responsibility to guard your children from going and being exposed to satanic temptations. Giving our children devices and TVs unfiltered nowadays is a big no-no. And this is our responsibility. And maybe, by God's grace, we can arrange something for an education on how to do filters and so on in our families, so we can help, you know, help you protect your children. But I want you guys to start this on your own. And God willing, we will try to work on this and maybe present something to you. But work on it on your own. The information is out there, but I have to want it. It'll take some effort. We all go to work to provide for our families, even, yani, as they say in Arabic, madrubi migazma. We don't want to, but we go. So doing a little bit of effort to protect your children's safety from this, the advertisements and so on, and the inappropriate things that are flooding them, is your due diligence. So why do I always want more? We're running out of time, so I'll stop here actually. I'll stop here for the sake of time. And next week we'll speak about why do I want more, and then how to break free from possessions. May God grant us the vigilance to be aware of my ties to the possessions of the world, and heed the voice of Christ today that said, do not treasure up for yourselves, or seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us. May God bless us all, and help us, Lord, during this journey of this holy great fast. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.